within a year, it was all paid.
Wow.
And definitely not through my salary.
And the Lord was like, that's not right. If I do what God's called me to do, he will take care of the bill.
Yep.
I don't have to worry about that. Like, either way, you need to use your faith.
God is my source means that I'm not looking to a person. I'm not looking to a job. I'm purely looking to God as the source for everything that he's called me to do, whether that's finances or people or relationships. He's the one that provides that.
It's not just a financial thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's every area
so much
of our
more.
Lives.
You don't receive according to somebody else's faith.
That's right.
Or God's
That's
ability.
Right. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about your faith.
Welcome to the Victory Podcast, where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. Today is a very special day. I'm joined by three beautiful ladies, and we're going to discuss this mini book called God is My Source by Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons. So ladies, introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Bethany. I am a KCBC Canada graduate.
Awesome.
Hi, I'm Angela, and I'm a manager at Victory Coffee Kitchen and Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada.
Hi, and my name is Anoma, and I work for Kenneth Copeland Ministries Administration.
That's awesome. So we're going to discuss this mini book today, and I'm so excited to hear your guys' thoughts, your mm-hmm. revelations, your testimonies. So the first question I have for you guys is, what does it mean to you when you personally would say that God is my source? Like, what does that mean to you? What does that phrase mean to you guys?
Well, I would say that God is my source means that I'm not looking to a person. I'm not looking to a job. I'm purely looking to God as the source for everything that he's called me to do, whether that's finances or people or relationships, that he's the one that provides that.
That's good. It's not just a financial thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's every area
so much
of our
more.
Lives. That's so good. Yeah. What does that mean to you guys?
For me, it is, as Bethany said, he is my provider.
Yeah.
In all the areas of my lives, there will be people as channels that God will use mm-hmm. to bring what I need. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they are directed and guided by God, who is my source.
Yes. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, it's like the many channels, but one source. And that's mm-hmm. the way I see it, too, is God can use my job. He can use people around me, but yeah. ultimately my eyes are not looking to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's to him, and it's not my job to figure out how.
Yeah.
It's just to keep my eyes and my faith on him. And I think the acid test for that is when something happens and you're in a situation where you need something.
Yeah.
Where do you look? Because
yeah.
I think that will be the answer to what your source really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes eye-opening, like, oh, wow, I didn't look to God first.
Right.
But
it
in
really
those
exposes
moments,
what
yeah.
we're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you guys think of a time when in your life that you had to rely on him as your source and he came through in the most unexpected, and just smiling,
yeah.
so I know she has stories.
Well, I'm thinking of Bethany.
Yeah.
We did our practicum together when
yeah.
she was a student, and
yeah.
we shared lots of those stories. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I know she's got some good nuggets in there.
Yeah, we love to hear them, Bethany.
For sure. Well, one of them actually was when I was coming to KCBC, because I just purchased my business. And at that point, I was doing everything myself. And so one of the biggest provisions that I needed at that point was people.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew God had said to come to KCBC, and he'd put it on my heart. And so I said yes and took those steps, but I didn't have anybody else to help me. And I knew I couldn't do all the pieces alone mm-hmm. and go to school. And so he really provided people that maybe wouldn't necessarily, if you looked at their resume, they wouldn't
right.
necessarily be the person that you picked,
right.
but I just knew they were the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And over the 2 years of KCBC, they were exactly who I needed. And God just put the pieces together so perfectly
yeah.
for it to work.
Wow.
And she's not going into detail, but I knew how busy she was. She
yeah.
had her life planned down to the minute
right.
to make this work for her, because
yeah.
she's running a dance studio.
Right.
I mean, that's, and it's mostly her, right?
Yeah.
And so to take how many hours was school?
School just well, in class commuting. Is 20. So total, like all my scheduled hours of life while I was in KCBC mm-hmm. was just over 80 hours a week were scheduled right. In either school or yeah. work or yeah. practicum or
So in the
driving.
Natural, it didn't make sense for her
it did yeah. not.
To do
right.
that.
I right, made a spreadsheet. Right. I love spreadsheets. Yeah. It physically did not fit. Yeah. Like I still couldn't, if somebody asked me,
Doesn't
how
compute.
How did it work? God. Only God.
Only
yeah.
God.
He's the only answer.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. That so is good. Awesome. Has there ever been a time, and I can so relate to this because I know the Lord had to shift my own mind in this, where when you come across a need, and it's not even necessarily financial, and I loved what you said, Bethany, that He's our source, not just financially, but mm-hmm. for every mm-hmm. part of our yeah. lives, for yeah. people, mm-hmm. for our kids, for our relationships, mm-hmm. for every part. But has there ever been a time in your life where you realized you weren't looking at Him? Mm-hmm. And how did you shift your mind towards Him for that need? Mm. I know Anoma is smiling okay. over there, so I'm going to...
For example, when I was laid off from my previous job, and after 29 years, and it was a shock, yeah. and I go, Lord, now what? I said, actually, mm-hmm. Daddy, what do I do? He told me, I don't want you to toil. Mm. That's all He said. But in spite of that, I thought, okay, I can figure it out. And I sent two resumes.
Mm. Yep.
As soon as I sent them, I realized, oops, I should not have done that. Mm. Because I was trying to look out for what I could do.
Right.
And yeah. the moment I realized that and I repented,
yeah,
He said, call Joe.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. then everything yeah. fell into place.
And so when you made that call, you got the job.
When I made that call, He said He's going to look into it. And within 3 weeks, I was here.
Mm. Wow.
That
Only
is totally God. God.
Only God, yes. We tend to want to, you know, I think it's just human nature to rely mm-hmm. on our own strength for what, you know, what do we do? Mm-hmm. What can we do next? But sometimes faith looks like trusting in Him and resting, yeah. right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And not doing
and
things
not
on,
doing something yeah. in our own strength.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that can be challenging for us doers that like to do.
Yes. Totally. Like I want to do.
Yep.
I want to do it, but then
yeah.
the faith is, as you said, this will sit back and yeah. He said not to toil. So
right.
Right. Yeah, I have a similar situation. What I'm from Ontario
mm-hmm.
and I really felt like the Lord had put on my heart to work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada. Kind of mm-hmm. came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it just dropped in my heart and then it wouldn't go away, which you know it's God when that
yes.
it keeps yep. coming back.
That's right.
And I was like, well, why would they hire me? I live in Ontario. I'm sure there's lots of people that could work there that live in BC.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like, how do I figure this out? Like, you know, what do I do to make this happen? And I really felt like the Lord was like, just trust me.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
spend
yeah.
the time in the in-between. Doing everything you know to do
mm-hmm. yeah.
that yes. I've called you to do, that I've called you to perfect in yourself. And at the time I was working for another ministry back in Ontario and I had kind of lost my honor for my place there. Like mm-hmm. I was kind of saying, oh, it's not KCM.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord was like, that's not right.
Right.
And so I spent the 2 years before mm-hmm. I actually moved out there getting all of that stuff out of my heart. And one of the mm-hmm. things was I started applying. I was thinking about applying somewhere else. And my dad, who's such a big piece of my testimony, said to me, did the Lord tell you to do that? Did He yeah. tell you to leave here to work somewhere else? Because
right.
it was the in-between time.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't think so. He's like, then I wouldn't move. Like, you have to
yes.
stay where you are.
Yeah.
And I think it was Keith Moore that said, go where you're sent and stay where you're stationed.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time,
yeah,
my purpose was to stay where I was stationed and mm-hmm. work out all the attitude and different things mm-hmm. I had in my heart for the current place I was in.
Right.
And God is so smart because those 2 years, I gained all the experience
wow. mm.
that I needed for the job that I was getting at KCM. Because at that time, I didn't even know when I would move here, if I would move here, and
right.
what I would be doing here.
Right.
And so that 2 years, I look back and I'm like, God, you're so smart. I could have spent time figuring things out, looking for places to live, and it would have all been a complete waste of time.
Right, right.
What I needed to do was focus on where I was at
yeah.
and give my heart and my all to my current place and trust God to figure everything else out.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Have you guys had any moments in your life where you're believing for something, you know, you're praying for, okay, so specifically financial provision. And you were like, Lord, you couldn't see any like anything in front of you that where it would come in. But it came in supernaturally, unexpected, like it was a miracle. And it just came from an unexpected place. Have you ever had that happen in your life? These are my favorite testimonies. So I want to hear if you guys have them, please share.
I think for me, the pattern that both my husband and I have seen in our married life and in the things that we believe in God for, we've never really had one of those like, and somebody gave us 50 grand or whatever that thing is. The Lord with us has been so progressive.
Right.
And it's like, he'll give us an instruction.
Right.
So when we first got married, neither one of us really had anything. We both actually had a little bit of debt. And we're like, well, we need a home. We don't want to rent anymore. We really feel like we need to own a home.
Yeah.
And we just looked at each other and we're like, we don't know how. Our parents don't have it. And we didn't feel right asking anyways. It's like, okay, Lord, you want this for us. How do we get there?
Right.
And one of the first things he did was open a door for us to rent a place that we had total favor. They were friends of ours. That gave us our rent super, super low.
Okay.
And so now we're having dual income, a low rent, no kids yet. And then God gave us the idea, look into the first time home buyers in BC, like what's available there. Mm-hmm. And so we started checking that out and it was like, oh, you can do this, this, and that, and it will propel us further faster. Mm-hmm. So we did that. And then next thing you know, we turn around, a year had passed. We had no debt. We paid off both of our debts. I had a card debt and he had student loans, I think.
Wow.
So it was about 20 grand.
Yeah.
That got totally paid off. We had our full down payment for our first house after 1 year. And I look back and I'm like, I don't, like you were saying, Bethany, I don't know how that happened, but it did. And I'm go cash the check, like, well, before kind of thing. And it was, that's mostly what I've seen in provision. And I'm way more blessed and prosperous than I was when I first moved out here.
Right.
But it was never a big thing that happened. Mm. It was like progressive things along the way and the obedience on my side to do the thing he told me to do. And a lot of times it was the last thing I wanted to do.
Right.
Like going back to school was a piece of that. I was terrified because, and it was true word, I was terrified because I thought I would have to do more public speaking and I do not enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to confess that over my future, but in the past, it's not been my favorite thing. But that was tied to my promotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I didn't go back to school, I wouldn't probably have gotten the position that I got, which obviously provided more prosperity for me.
Right.
But it was tied to my obedience. And so much of what God has done with me has been progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Is there anything in that time that you specifically did? Any verses that you stood on in that time? Like, was there anything specifically that you can remember that kind of carried you through that time? Because I know you said it was progressively and it wasn't like a boom, but it was like a over time.
Well, one of the scriptures in the mini book, Matthew 6:33, about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Mm-hmm. It really helped me get my focus off of the things and on if I do what God's called me to do, he will take care of the bill.
Yep.
I don't have to worry about that. Like Jesse Duplantis says, Jesus, you got mail.
Yes,
like there's bills to pay. And so if I keep my focus on what he's called me to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's times where you're tempted to be like, oh, this isn't going as fast as I want it. Or it's harder than I thought it was going to be. But if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there's no way those things will not be added to me. So that was an anchoring scripture for me.
Yeah. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. How about you guys? Do you have any testimonies?
For me, as Ange says, it's progressive.
Yes.
For a dental surgery, that normally they are quite expensive. I had part of the finances, but not the other part.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the Lord, and I felt that he was leading me to get a line of credit for that balance amount. And then when I went, I had so much favor with the bank. He told me where to go, not the place where the surgeon was telling me to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and it was great. And I don't know how it happened, but within a year, it was all paid.
Wow.
And definitely not through my salary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was thank you, Daddy, for providing.
Yeah. Yep. I love when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I think with her even saying, you know, line of credit, people are like, oh, credit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Same with us. Like, we mm-hmm. really felt led to get a new car. We yes. had one on our vision list, color, everything, model. Everybody told us, you're not going to get that one. They're hard to come by. We put it on our vision list. Mm. And I get a call from my dad, who works for a dealership back in Ontario. And he's like, this car just rolled in. Are you interested? I'm like, Dad, it is the exact car, color and everything on our vision list. We didn't have the money. Wow. We had never made car payments before. We had a line of credit before that we've used, but car payments was like, oh, no, car payments. But there was just this piece on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we're like, okay. And I think, too, people often pattern their faith after what somebody else is believing for.
Yes.
And maybe for them, credit is not an option. And their faith is at a place where that's not something they would consider.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you don't receive according to somebody else's faith.
That's right.
Or God's ability.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about your faith. And you have to be honest about where that is. And in that situation, same thing. We had peace about it. Unbeknownst to us, we sold our first place 3 months later and had equity from our home and completely paid off the car.
Wow.
But we didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just think it's worth talking about because I think the credit issue is something that people really struggle with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to you can't live your life after somebody else's faith if it's in the word, that settles it.
That is right.
But if it's not, it's something that you have to bring to the Lord. And maybe there will be a day where I never, ever borrow a penny again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe there will be.
Yes.
But for right now, honestly, where I'm at, that's something I've used from time to time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has used it to bless me.
Yes. So, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Yes. That definitely needs to, that is something I think even, you know, as believers of the word and as Christians, could be a gray area for some, right? Yeah.
I was hesitant
to
get it. I was like, really, is this you, Lord?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much peace in my heart for going.
That's
and then
so
I
good.
Received
That's
favor so from the bank.
Yeah.
It was my own bank. And they looked at, I didn't have any debts. They said, we can look. That's great.
That's mm-hmm. so
and
good.
And then to see the fact that it was paid off.
Yes.
In a year, it's like, how did that happen? That's totally from the Lord. So there's that stigma has to be, you know, as you said, you have to do what the Lord tells you to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's always the right thing to do.
It's the same thing with the doctor thing. It's not a matter of do I go to the doctor or do I not go
Correct.
To the doctor.
Yep.
Either way, you need to use your faith.
Yes.
So trust God for whatever avenue
right.
he leads you to. Yep. And if it's, you know, going down the route of a line of credit or a mortgage or whatever, I'm not believing to have that forever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. yes.
But if I have peace about it and I have to be honest before the Lord where my faith is at and then take those steps. And if the peace goes away, by all means, stop.
Yes.
Like that means God's not in that.
That's right.
But it's not about yes or no. It's about I'm applying my faith and what's the right way to go.
That's
Unless
so good.
It's in the word, right? Like you said, then that settles it.
That's so good.
And there's no struggle when you do that. It flows.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's no doors you have to push open, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good. Wow. Yes. So before I applied to Bible college, I got accepted and the Bible college is in the States. And as a Canadian student, I can't, you're on a visa, a school visa, so you can't work as a student in the States. So at that time, you know, I'm believing the Lord for the finances to come in for my tuition, for living expenses, and for a mission trip that they have you go on in your first year of school. And I remember the Lord told me just to go. Like, just to go. I remember he said, you know, Leah, I will provide, just go. Mm. And so on the day that I left to drive to the States, you know, cars all packed, driving there, did not have my tuition, was not paid off. Mm. All of our living expenses, we had no idea how that was going to be provided for. Our mission trip was still at zero. And I remember the Lord said, just go. So we, at the border, I remember I was stressing.
Mm-hmm.
I was in fear. Like, I wasn't sure if this was going to work. Like, should I even go? You know, all the questions that come at you in situations like that. And I remember crossing the border and driving like 10 minutes after we crossed, and we got a call, and a lady called and said, I want to pay for your tuition. I want to pay for all of your expenses, and I want to pay for your mission trip.
Praise God.
So after we crossed the border, immediately the finances all came in and I was bawling. I remember driving down the I-5, bawling my eyes out and remembering,
so
like, you know, like you said, Anoma, when you do what he says and you have the peace, he provides. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not going to make logical sense how he's going to do it.
Yes.
And when you put your trust in him, he provides.
But just all the stuff in between that you just shared, I think, is so powerful. Like, you packed your car, you packed your life, you drove across
to another country.
To another country. And literally the blessing was on literally
the other side of
your obedience, which is the other side of the border.
Yeah. Your obedience.
Like, all these stories, we had something to play in that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we love, our flesh loves the, like, it fell in my lap. Mm-hmm. But the reality is God calls you to do something and then the light comes.
Yes.
And then you take another step.
Yes.
And it does require something. And we'd be lying to people by saying, like, you just have to stay home and pray and God will, drop it in your lap. A lot of times somebody at KCM, I forget who it was, said blessing is spelled W-O-R-K.
Yes.
Like, it's going to require
something.
Like,
faith looks like something.
Yeah. It's not a toil situation where you're losing your health and you're exhausted and you're, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But you're applying your faith along the way and you're taking the steps and God is progressing it. And just that is huge. Like, packing up your life and there are no promises and you're like, crossing the border. Yeah. that's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of emotions in that story.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was amazing though. And I love sharing that testimony because it just shows, like you said, faith looks like something.
Mm-hmm.
Faith looks like work.
Love that.
Yeah. I've heard it said as faith looks like risk.
Mm.
You're trusting the Lord. And I remember just hearing his voice, and that's what I held on to in those moments as I was crossing, was like, I'm holding on to your voice. I'm holding on to knowing that what you say never fails.
That's
and
right.
He's a man that doesn't lie, and he keeps
that's
his word
right.
and he keeps his promises at all times. And our job is not to figure out how.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
But just to trust and rest and lean on every word that he says. And that is our strength and that is our portion. So is there any verse in this mini book that stood out to you that you maybe were like, that shifted my mindset or my perspective on that he is our source? Was there any verse that stuck out to you in the mini book?
I had one, in Deuteronomy 8:18, where it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." And there's a quote from Kenneth Copeland in here as well, where it says, "To bless actually means to empower to prosper." Mm-hmm. So the first words Adam ever heard, the first sound that ever struck his eardrums, was the sound of God's voice empowering him with the divine creative ability to reign over the earth and make it a perfect reflection of God's best and highest will.
Wow.
So
and I think often when we think about getting wealth or finances or provision, it can be, if I'm trusting God, that means I just have to sit back and do nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in faith if I'm doing something. But like it says, he gives us the power to get wealth.
Mm.
And so that power to get wealth can be those creative ideas.
Mm.
For example, when I was purchasing my business, he gave me ideas on how to structure the contract, that it could be debt-free and still be for the right amount. And just those creative ideas, whether it's like a book idea or, oh, I should make this or things like that, that power to get wealth does take work on our end a lot of the time. But it's not hard like it would be if it wasn't from him.
Right.
Right.
That's so good. Yes.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that. How about you guys?
I focus on the actual chapter of the goodness of God. My daddy, my earthly daddy, was such a good man.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me to accept Father God as a good father, good daddy. That's why I call him daddy.
Mm.
So everything that I have is because of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He loves me so much. He loves all of us so much that he's willing to do what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
So cannot separate one verse, one chapter. But this is something that I always tend to lean towards the goodness of God.
Yep.
It's like my earthly daddy.
Yeah.
Mine was Deuteronomy 8:18, which is what Bethany was sharing a little bit. As you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, and he established his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it made me think when I was reading that about, say you inherit something on earth, some lawyer contacts you and said, hey, Angela, just so you know, some foreign cousin you had in Paris has left you a French villa. And, you know, we take that to the bank. We're like, praise the Lord, have the party. But how much more when our Heavenly Father promises something in his word? Mm-hmm. That should mean more to us than some lawyer calling us. We literally have everything we need in his word.
Yeah.
And reading that just reminded me, like, if I'm more excited about somebody on earth telling me that, then my eyes are in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. I have a promise from my Heavenly Father who literally owns everything.
Yes.
And he said, I will take care of you. Wow. And so it made me think of that. It's more powerful than any inheritance that you could get on earth, because there's no end to it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's so good. I know I've been in this place before, but what would you say to anybody watching who may not have the revelation that God is their source? Mm. What do you feel like they could do, or what steps could they take to shift their focus to get that revelation that God is their source?
For me, I would say, first of all, repent of the fact that even for entertaining that thought that he's not being able to rely on him being the source. And then say, Father God, show me. And then whatever he shows, he will show you. He will show you a verse. He will show you verses. He will show you steps to take, and go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. Focus on what he says. And when you do it, that obedience opens the doors.
Yeah.
The humility.
Not to be relying on, oh, I could be the one who's going to provide for myself. No, forgive me, Father God, for I thought I was the one taking care of myself, or my job taking care of myself, or my family.
Yeah.
But no, it is you. Please forgive me. I repent. And now show me what I need to do.
Yeah, I feel like, growing up, we may not have experienced, because we start learning this in our families, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if growing up you didn't experience your parents or your father being, you know, a good provider for you. And then you kind of have to unlearn some of those, you know, with healing and with getting into the word and having a relationship with the Father, of unlearning those things that may have, taken seed into your heart. And like you said, repent and ask the Lord to show you that he is your source, you know, and to get that revelation and and experience him as a good father. Yes. 'Cause I know I didn't grow up with that knowledge that he is our provider. I saw my mom pray so many times, 'cause she was a single mom and she raised me, but I never experienced a father being a good provider. So I had to unlearn some of those things and receive the healing and experience that the Lord is my source in not just financially, but in every area of my life. And so I know maybe a lot of people could relate to that as well.
I think it's I've experienced that myself. The thought will come to you like, oh, this thing happened for so-and-so. And you're like, well, that's them. You know, they're like they're a faith preacher, or like they come from a wealthy family, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think what I would say to somebody is what worked for me, which was build your faith. Like we don't receive according to God's ability.
Right.
He's able to do anything.
Yeah.
But we receive according to our faith. And so if you're in a point where you're in a tough situation or you don't even know where to start, start with the word. Fill your heart.
Good,
I get the opportunity to mentor some of the women in Victory Coffee Kitchen who are our interns. Mm-hmm. And it's the my most favorite thing I've done at KCM in the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to talk with them and work through those things, maybe they didn't have any experience before to pull from.
Yeah.
But if you're obedient with the last thing that God told you, he will not fail you.
Yes.
And building your faith is like step one.
That's so good.
The faith, and I was talking with one of the interns the other day. They were struggling in a certain area, which we all do. We can all put our hand up and tell you right now what I'm believing for. Mm-hmm. But I said, I think you need to put focused effort on that area. So if it's finances and you're really needing faith for finances, mm-hmm. like focus that effort.
Yep.
Like I picture a fire hydrant putting a fire out on faith for prosperity.
Yes.
Like everything's good.
Yes.
But if you're really struggling in that area, turn up the volume, grab some teachings on prosperity, find some scripture, read this mini book and build your faith because you will not. Yes, God is good and God is able to do all things, but you're not receiving according to his ability.
That's right.
You're receiving according to your faith, and it's not works. It's like you said, renewing your mind. Like I may have provided for myself in the past, but those days are over.
Right.
I have to renew my mind to the way God designed me to prosper and build my faith for that. So I can actually hear his voice and do the last thing he told you, I think is a really good practical step. Yeah,
that's good. That's so good.
And I would say, you know, in Psalm 37:4, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's a really big key because it's as you, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I kind of look at that two ways of not only does he fulfill the desires on your heart, but he also places the desires in your heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so as you spend time with him, then you have time to get to know his character. Mm-hmm. You get to know who God is, and then you also get time for him to place those things in your heart and ask him how he can fulfill it. Ask him what you need to do to go forward, really taking a dive into his word and just asking him, you know, Lord, what does this mean? What does this look like in real life? I'm reading this. I know your word is true, but what does this actually look like in my life? And he's so faithful to answer that.
That's so good.
Yeshua is faithful.
Yes. There's one portion of the book where it says, it's page 21, there is no dream too big or desire too small that he won't provide.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a portion of the book that, or this concept has really challenged my mindset, because when you get that revelation that he is your source, there is nothing impossible for him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even to ask for those things that feel impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says here to keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, which is Matthew 7:7.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, it gives you a space where you write down all the areas that you need heaven's resources, but have not been bold enough to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever encountered those resources that you may have needed, but haven't been bold enough to ask? Because there's like a mindset where when you know there's nothing impossible with God, you ask for big things.
Mm-hmm.
Your vision gets bigger. You ask for things that may look impossible to those around you, but they're big God dreams, they're big ideas, they're big things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you guys
Bethany just share right now? I love doing my practicum with her because we approach things so differently, but then I hear her and it just gives me a new perspective when she was talking about almost like that softer side of the Lord where you can trust him with those desires of your heart. It just, when she was talking, I was just hearing, you know, the heart of God in that. It's like, you might be scared. Maybe we were talking about, we've all been through things in our past. If somebody kind of like laughed at your dream or said, you're not ready for that. You know, those things can sting, and the devil would love nothing more than to keep you bound that way. But when you were talking, Bethany, it just made me think of the goodness of God and how he's such a safe space to just be like, Lord. And for me, that was my desire to be married. Like I had no prospects. I just was, you know, there's like three guys in my church and they're all younger than me. And I don't know. I didn't feel safe about talking about it with other people, but the Lord had me do something when I moved out here with along with what you're saying. He told me, write down your dreams without the filter of what anybody else has told you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting in my apartment by myself and I started writing. And one of those things was to marry a godly man, to have three babies, to learn to speak boldly in front of a crowd, to finish school. And I'm like, check, check, check.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But I did not necessarily feel comfortable talking about those things. Right. Like, and some of those things should be just between you and the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was so that moment of like, I felt like God was like, it's okay. Tell me.
Yeah.
I'm big. I can handle it. Yeah. And the Lord, it didn't happen the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
Which I think is so God. Like, he just laughs at us like, yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, he figures it all out. We just take the steps.
Yes.
And that was something that I didn't. It took me years to get to the point where I could be honest about those things in my heart and not filter it through things other people had told me I should be believing for or that I'm ready for.
Right.
Because they don't know my heart. They mean well, right? Yep. They're like, you know, do this, do that, like trying to help you. But but really it's between you and the Lord. And I think that was an opportunity on my own. I was an adult at that point. You know, growing up in a Christian home, Bethany and I have talked about this so much. It's an amazing experience, but there's also other things you have to work through. My faith can't be through my parents.
Yeah,
it has to be my own faith.
Yep.
And moving out here gave me the opportunity to dream for myself without filtering it through other people's expectations.
Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And bearing my heart before the Lord and trusting him with my big dreams.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, if you think like the wildest thing like that you can think up, and it says the Lord that will go above and beyond that.
That's so right.
And just to think.
The word says that.
It's a promise.
Amen. We can stand on it.
Yeah.
But just like, I can dream up some pretty big things where my mind's like, yeah, that's not possible.
Right?
That's big. But if the Lord can go beyond that, like the biggest thing that I can think up, he can go beyond and above that.
Yeah.
And over the last year, I really saw that. There were some things on my heart where I was like, I don't know how these things can ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just one after one, the entire list of everything, I'd even had a passing little thought of, I would love this. He brought that to pass and then went further.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so reminded of the goodness of God over this last year. You know, it says also in the word about the importance of remembering and remembering those things that he's done, because it That's encourages really us and gives us that boost to keep believing for the future. Because if he did it before, why wouldn't he do it again?
That's right.
He's the same. He doesn't change. Yeah. He keeps his character.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can trust him with those big things.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love that,
really good.
That saying in here. It said, that happens to me all the time.
Amen.
Right? Yes.
And so it's a test to like something happens for my sister in Christ. To like, praise God, I'm rejoicing with you.
Yeah.
And that happens to me all the time. Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's good.
I can tell you how good he is. For even when I was a heathen, I was 8 years old, I think, somewhere in there. I kept saying, I'm going to live 10,000 miles away from home.
Wow.
That's the biggest thing I could think of, you know, 10,000 miles. And never even imagining, here I am now in my father's arms, living in Canada, far, far away from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
That shows he even heard me when I was a heathen because he knew I will be his.
Yeah.
And he said,
he's always pursuing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, my daughter.
Yeah.
Your dreams are going to come to pass. Keep on dreaming.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. Yeah.
So good.
In your opinion, what would be the biggest lie believers might believe about God being their source, or about finances or provision? Mm.
That's a good question.
We can take a moment if you guys need to think.
That is just a God of theory, not of actual practicality. Mm. That he doesn't come through. It is in the word, but the word doesn't, not always happens to other people, but not to oneself.
Not to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's a big one.
Yeah. You know, when you grow up in a Christian home, or even if you don't, and, you know, you attend a church and you hear all the testimonies and all the miracles and you celebrate. But I can relate to that. I remember feeling, because I've experienced it, but also have felt the other side where it's almost like, it's not going to happen for me. It's amazing that it's happening for them, but it doesn't happen for me. And that is the biggest lie the enemy would throw at you, is that it couldn't happen for you, right?
And so then when you believe like that, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're believing the lie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is a straight up lie.
Straight up.
Yes. Yeah. From the pit of hell.
Yep. Because what God can do for one, like Bethany was saying, he can do for another.
That's right.
He is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
So
I love that.
That's what it says in his word.
Amen.
I'd say one where I feel a lot of people get stuck is stuck on believing for a need and forgetting to dream about what those desires, because it says that he's met our needs according to his riches and glory. And so really coming to a point of, do we believe that? Do we believe that he's provided for those needs, and not getting stuck on that? Because, you know, I often think about it, you know, there's these games that you can play where it shows you a really zoomed in picture and you have to try and figure out what the zoomed in picture is of. And when it zooms out, it's like, oh, of course, that's what it was. But when you're looking at it so close, you can't see what it is because you don't have any context. And I feel like our lives can get like that sometimes, particularly when there is a need or we're believing for something, is we get so focused on that one little area that we forget that perspective of the Lord. And sometimes taking a step back and remembering, oh, he has provided for all my needs, and I can trust that. Like, if my mom says something to me and says, oh, I've got that for you, I don't second guess it. I trust her word. I know, okay, well, I don't need to think about it anymore. But that we can be like that with God, of knowing, okay, he said he's met my needs. So maybe I can't see what that looks like right now, or maybe it's looking different than I thought it would look. But just trusting that fact and really resting in that.
That's really good. That's so good. I know in this book, in this mini book, it gets you to declare things after every chapter, and it says, say it. Because, you know, when you speak something, there's power in that, right? So the declarations, the speaking out of the word, how has that impacted you guys personally? Like when you, when you're facing a challenge, or when you're believing for a need, how important is it to say it out loud? How important is it to declare?
I feel like it's the linchpin. Like, they're in talking with our interns as well. You know, you're in a, you can be in a really tough struggle, right? And usually, you know, spiritual warfare is between your ears. It's it's not giving the enemy that foothold. And you can say anything in those situations, but the only thing that has power is the written word of God. That's the only thing that can separate, you know. And so we've talked about that many times in the cafe. It's like, you know, you can have a rough moment and a tough customer, or something doesn't go the way you thought it was, and you can, you can be upset and you can cry, but that's actually not going to change anything. What will change is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And it's not just the words, it's the word. Like, that is literally what God chose to record. And those are the things that are anointed and have power and put forth spiritual forces to get things worked out on my behalf. And so for me, it is literally everything to confess the right words, the word of God in those situations. And sometimes you're tempted to say the complete opposite. And you know what? Sometimes you will. We're human. And you know what you do? Like Anoma said, you repent real quick. And you shift and you change. And God's like, don't remember that. Don't dwell on it. Move on. Because you are natural, and you do say things that are not the right thing, but fix it quickly. And then speak the word, and it changes everything.
That's right. That's so
good. When you confess, when you say the word, when you speak the word, that's when it gets from your mouth, from the outer ear to the inner ear, into your heart. And then in a time of when you need it, it comes out. As Pastor Terry says, when you get the word at a time when you don't need it, at the time when you need it, it will come out of your heart. You have to put the word into your heart before the need comes up.
That's so good.
You know, because believing that God is our source, you know, we live in a culture that is hustle, that is very, you know, all about self-sufficiency. That's just our culture. So we as believers almost have to live against the grind of the culture, right? What do you feel like that that looks like practically, or how have you experienced, you know, not living of this world in that way? What does that look like practically?
Well, I'd say, like, the world says to get ahead, you have to network, you have to get yourself in with the right people, you have to work harder than everybody else, you have to keep everybody happy and all these things. But when you do things the Lord's way, I've learned that a lot since I purchased my business and have been running it and stuff, because there's the pressure, like the world wants you to do it their way. And the world is very flesh-based and, like, make people feel happy about life and kind of cater to people and all these things. But the Lord just works things together so perfectly mm-hmm. that, I mean, I like to get things done. I like my to-do list. I'm that person that if I got something done that was not on my to-do list, I will write it on that list so that I can cross it off. But I really found, particularly over the last 2 years, God really talking to me about not getting it done in my strength. Like there's a point in life where you can muscle through and get it done. But there's a point in walking into his fullness where that list is not possible without him. Right. Like you physically can't get that list done without him.
Right.
And that was something that I found with going to KCBC is I like to not start a task unless I can finish it. And so with all my reading for school, like that wasn't possible. I did not have 5 hours to sit down and get all the reading done. Right. I had to do a little bit here and there, which was a big adjustment for me. But the Lord would just say, okay, do this now. Or I would just kind of have that. It's not like I hear his audible voice, but just that knowing of like, or that thought of, I need to do this now. And it would be in those times of him saying, do this now, that it would go faster than it should have gone.
Right.
It would just get done easily and I could go on to the next thing. And so I'd say that just that walking with him closely so that as you go about your day, no matter how small or how non-spiritual it seems, he's got the way for you to do it.
Yeah,
and so where the world says, do it this way, his way may not make sense. Yeah. Actually, a lot of the time, you're like, really, God? Yeah. But it always works so much better. Like, I'd look back on my week and be like, wow, like, I didn't know all the pieces that were going to happen in the week, but he did, and he knew when to tell me when to do all the things, and it just worked out so much better.
Yeah. Sometimes all the time, he sees things that we don't, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the culture piece, like you said, the hustle, right? Like, I'm proud of how busy I am, or like I have to step on everyone else to get where I need to go.
Yeah,
and I think for me, the big thing with that is how is my spiritual condition when I've arrived at that place that I was hoping to be at, right?
Yeah.
Like, did I step on everyone and put pressure on everyone around me? Or did I really just lean into the Lord and trust him? I did the work. He helped me do it. Like Bethany said, the little things, he helps me throughout the day.
Right.
But then when I get to my destination and I look back, is there anyone I stepped on or, you know, looked to get me there?
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say something that's really, really stuck with me is faith puts no pressure on people. And it brings you so much freedom. It's like, I don't have to look at me, look what I'm doing to get a boss or somebody to notice me. God sees me.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's unattractive. Nobody wants that.
No.
it has the opposite effect.
Yes, that's right.
If I'm not putting pressure on people and I'm not looking to people to meet my needs. And the other thing that really stuck with me, I heard somebody say is, when you chase those things and you push for them and you fight for them, whether it's somebody screwed up your smoothie and you are going back and you're like, I paid for my smoothie and I want my smoothie.
Right.
I feel like it just, not the smoothie, whatever, fill in the blank. It just exposes that you're actually not trusting that God could get it to you another way. If we're scraping and scrimping for everything and fighting with people for somebody to notice you so that you get the promotion or whatever, I feel like it just shows that you're actually looking more to man and the physical things instead of keeping your eyes on the Lord, who has millions of ways to get you what you need. And
That's
it just takes the pressure off.
That
you're not pulling
so
on people around you. Like, you can be around the wealthiest person in the room, and I have no desire to be like, by the way, I'm believing for, you know, like, or praying next to somebody really loud, like, God, I'm believing for $800 by the end of the week. And if you could just speak to someone, you know, then that, you don't want that. You don't want that. You want God to take care of you. And the temptation is there, you know, to look to other people. But that's limiting.
There's
strings.
It's almost on your own strength trying to make it happen, right?
Yeah. And there's strings attached usually to those things. With God, there's no strings attached.
Oh, that's really good. That's so good. When you said faith, can you say that
again? Faith puts no pressure on people. I think it was Keith Moore that
said that.
Yeah,
faith in God doesn't put pressure on people. I was thinking of that earlier. So it's so great you brought that
up. And you know what? I had a friend tell me, they're one of their parents was promised them a certain amount of money, mm-hmm. and it never happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what though? Like, oh well.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but they owed that to me. It's like, well, they really didn't owe it to us. If they gave it to us, great. But like, I've been in situations like that where, you know, do I go talk to the person? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. If God really put on their heart, then they'll do it. And if they don't, God yeah. will get it to me another way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I don't ruin my relationship with the person. Mm-hmm. That other quote by Keith Moore, I think, oh, when it comes to people, expect nothing, mm-hmm. but appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and it
good.
Just allows you to live so free all the mm-hmm. time, because it's like, if they don't do it, I wasn't expecting it anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and then when they do it, you're happy and you're surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it keeps those relationships around you intact, because you're not pulling on them for things. You're pulling on God.
That's yeah. right.
And it's yeah, helped yeah. me a lot.
Yes.
A lot, mm-hmm. a lot, a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something that I love about this book, and that it's made me realize as well, as you were talking about, you know, not putting pressure on the people,
yeah.
That you're actually living for an audience of one
yeah. mm-hmm.
when you realize and live in the revelation that God so is good. Your source.
Yeah.
Because yeah. like you said, you're not trying to make it happen yeah. or, you know, trying to get somebody wealthy to provide for you.
Yeah.
You're mm-hmm. actually living for an audience of one, because mm-hmm. he knows every need.
Mm-hmm.
He provides for the birds. And the word says he provides for the birds. He knows your every need, mm-hmm. every area. So and good. He cares about the littlest details.
Mm-hmm. Right. I keep saying, daily, whenever I come to a point of
see, which we all have.
We all, yeah. have.
We all have those moments.
But I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust
That's
you.
So mm-hmm.
I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying that. And then ideas drop in.
Mm-hmm.
Paths are open. He shows me what to do and what. How to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the path that I would have chosen would have been long and tedious, whereas the steps that he tells me to take are, yeah. and then you get it done faster mm-hmm. and you're mm-hmm. at peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have started saying. Even mm-hmm. if there is no issue in front of my face, I say, Lord, I trust you for today.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you for the steps that I have to take today.
It's a good and daily reminder.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, sometimes in the bus, I would say, I trust you, Lord.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good.
Yes.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me today, talking about God is My Source. How much do you recommend this book to everybody watching?
Definitely.
Everybody should have
100%.
It. 100%.
I'm sure we'll have the link in the bio on ways that you can get this book. But thank you for sitting back and joining the conversation. And until next time.
Hi, this is Neil from Surrey, British Columbia. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people all around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode has charged your faith. And if it did, make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. We also have a free PDF resource with study notes from this episode. We encourage you to download and go through it to stay charged, connected, and walking in victory. If you've been encouraged by this episode and want to help make a difference, consider becoming a partner. Visit the link in the description to learn more.